Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M network. For Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon.
It's what rugby league's all about. Go!
Triple M rocks the footy.
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Welcome back to Leichhardt Oval. If you've just joined us right across the Triple M network for the first time this afternoon, Leichhardt Oval in the beautiful city of Sydney for today's match of the day. 4 o'clock kickoff between the West Tigers and Manly. All the action right here on Triple M. And, of course, download the app and you'll be ready right across the finals season for 2017. TripleM.com.au. We do it all thanks to Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Maroon, Gerds, Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis. Our number is 133353. Just while we're waiting on Brent Reed, there was a press conference, a press release earlier from the Gold Coast Titans suggesting that they'll sort out all this drama between Jarryd Hayne and the coach Neil Henry. There'll be a meeting tomorrow among the Gold Coast Titans to work that out just moving forward. So we'll know more about all that from Graham Annesley in about 24 hours' time. Yesterday, on Saturday NRL, during the call, which the Titans lost, the guys caught up with Jarryd Hayne at the completion of the game, and here's how that went.
Yeah, thanks, Maroon. I am with a disappointed Jarryd Hayne. Another tough one to swallow, mate.
Yeah, definitely. They're probably the first four sets we went with them, and then it's always hard when you're giving penalties away and not completing our set. So patches again, but they were clinical in that first half, and we showed a bit of fight in that second half to fight back there, but it wasn't me.
Obviously, there's been plenty of talk in the lead up to this match about yourself and Neil. Do you want to set the record straight? Is there an issue there between yourself and the coach?
Well, I don't have any issues. So for me, it's about playing footy for the boys, and we seem to start the season good and kind of have up and downs, but personally, I just want to do it for the boys, for me, mate. So that's what I'm focused on. And if Neil's got a different opinion, and that's so be it.
Up to you, Del.
How you going, mate? Hey, Hainsy, it's Del, mate. Just a quick one. We talk about players and big personalities, and you're certainly that at the Titans. It's been tough for you guys the last couple of weeks, but everyone's got an opinion. Whether it's Justin Hodges, whether it's Paul Kent. Mate, what do you say to those people who have an opinion about you and the way that you play?
Well, that's just the industry we're in. And, that's the reason that it's so popular. It's a big sport in Sydney. So, when someone like myself, goes through stages like this, everyone's going to come out and, I guess, point fingers and whatnot. But I think personally, you just got to focus on what I do. And like I said, just play for me, mates. And, just try and get up, because we're in obviously a tough spot now. We know we can't make the final, so it is tough to get up, but that's all we can do. Well, what I control is what I do, not what anyone else says about me or has an opinion of me.
Hayes, I want to take you back. I was just telling the boys there on our show, remember the time that I sledged you here in 2009 and what you did to us at the end of that game?
Yeah, I think that was the last time I played you. Hey, all the best to the finals, though.
Good on you, Jarryd. There is Jarryd Hayne on the sideline for us following their defeat. St. George Illawarra 42, Gold Coast 16.
Say a lot there, Jarryd Hayne, but he says he doesn't have an issue with the coach. But in saying that, it kind of sounded like, that he kind of does have an issue with the coach, and then he's gone on to say
he called him a liar.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, really,
in a nice way.
You calling him out,
but then he's gone on to say that they didn't speak yesterday before the game. So for this to be resolved, Ryan, do you think that for it to be resolved that somebody's going to have to move on?
Yes, I believe so. I believe it gets to the point. I know they might try and work it out, but I think the best interest of the club needs to be put as a priority. Rudy might have more on it, but yeah, I believe that it's not working between the two of them. And I think sometimes when those relationships are fractured, it's best if, for the betterment of the organisation, that someone just moves on. And you got your highest paid player and your coach, and if those two guys aren't working together, it's all well and good to sit down and try and nut things out, but it seems like there's a lot of water got under the bridge, and it's probably best if they move on.
I think things will be a lot clearer for everybody, including the coach and the player, after tomorrow's meeting. Sometimes, as you guys know, you just need that
Need a mediator.
You need an honest discussion.
Yeah.
And you need people there who can mediate the discussion and say, righto, what's the issues? And hopefully both Neil and Jared will be honest in what their concerns are. What I'm beginning to wonder is whether Jared's not capable of doing what Jared used to be able to do, whether his body can do that, whether he's no longer that player that we all thought was coming back to the NRL.
Do you think that Neil Henry's the right man to be in charge there, PK? Because you spoke about his model.
I'll tell you why I do, because Gers, they're not a club that can afford a lot. So they're not a club that can go out into the market and through purchasing power get the players they need. So they need a coach who can work within the limitations that they've got as an organisation. We know that financially they struggle. They don't have a lot of corporate support. They don't have a lot of third parties. They generally, they never really wowed anybody with unless you go back to their early days when they sent themselves broke.
Yep.
That's when they got into the market and everybody went, wow, they got some power.
Yep.
But they've got none now. They're in financial hardship.
I understand that, but look at Manly. Look what Trent Barrett's done to Manly. They've been hamstrung by different things as well. And you got to think, you spoke about the model in which Neil Henry likes to work, which is obviously more of a communist situation where everyone's sort of paid the same
thing. Socialist, we like to call it.
But what about when you've got guys like Ash Taylor then that are going to demand change that model?
Yeah, you will, and you'll have to do that. You'll have to do that to keep him there. But what the difference between Manly and the Gold Coast is that Manly have come in and they've got Bob Fulton going around, and he's gone around and bought all his bargain buys. Okay, now one, he's done that through the power of his personality. Two, he's been able to work closely with people like Phil Gould, so they've got Penrith players who undervalue. So they've done all that. I think Neil's capable of doing that. But Neil has been a coach who is, look, he's got to try and get the best out of him. And I think he was on his way to doing that with the Gold Coast. When Jared arrived at round 22 last year, they were seventh. And this is a side that most people had tipped to come run last with Newcastle that season. He had them in seventh place with this almost exactly the same squad. Then he added Jared to it. Now, the test at the time, and it was a question at the time, was whether, in fact, Jared would basically come as the icing on the top or whether he would somehow mix with the formula and ruin it. Now, they went from seventh and ultimately 5 weeks later finished eighth. This year, they're not in the finals. So what's that telling you?
I think they've won 9 of 27 with Jared. Let's bring in Brent Reed to the Sunday Triple M NRL show, because, Reedy, you've got some mail on this. Reedy, firstly, welcome.
Hey, Maroon.
And what have you got? What can you add to this Jared Hayne argument?
Look, I don't think it can work. There's one of them has to go. And obviously the landscape's going to change up there in the next couple of months, because they will have a private owner or private owners coming in. So financially, I think they'll be in a better footing, Kenny. So maybe they'll have some money to throw at some people if they need to do that. They're going to need money, because they're going to have to pay one of them out. Now, Jared's obviously said, I'll leave today if he doesn't want me there. But Jared's not going to leave without a big paycheck in his pocket or a big severance pay. And he's on, what, 1.2? Now, they mightn't pay him all of it, but they're going to have to pay him a fair chunk of it. Neil Henry's a much cheaper payout if they've got to pay out Neil Henry, because, you know, I would suspect the deal's on nowhere near that. Obviously, well, he is on nowhere near that amount of money. And, you know, what we hear, 300 to 400 maybe for Neil Henry. It's a much cheaper option for the new owners.
Doesn't necessarily make it better though, Reedy.
No, I'm not saying
once one
better.
Of them is gone, your job at the club, whoever is gone, the club's job is to then continue to forge forward. Now, if Neil is seen as the guy who can best take them forward on where they're at, rather than Jared, who's going to be retired in a couple of years, then Neil, even though he's the more Jared is the more expensive option right now, it might be best for the long-term future of the club. And that's what it's often about. That's where the smart clubs are building for a future. They build for the now, but they also build for the future. That where clubs get themselves into trouble is when they feel that external pressure and they try to make decisions that are all about results now.
I mean, I agree. I think if I'm going to get rid of one of them, I get rid of Jared Hayne. Because, you know, in a year's time, Jared's probably not going to be there anyway. Let's be honest, he'll probably pack up and walk where he can get more money. He'll probably go to Europe. So why do you waste a year, get rid of a coach who's done good things up there for the sake of Jared Hayne? I mean, that club's gone backwards since Jared Hayne joined it. So why would you bend over backwards for the bloke?
And what about, Reedy, this is probably a discussion that everyone's got an opinion on, if they do suggest that Neil Henry's the man that they're going to part company with, then who is going to coach the Titans? Now, Gordon, you're involved with the Titans. Have you got any mail on who that might be? Is there anyone hanging around?
No, Neil's the coach. You've got to remember what Neil did.
And it's time for this.
You got to remember what Neil did at the North Queensland Cowboys and the rest of that.
Who is this? What is going on there? Okay, sorry, Gordon.
Okay, yeah, so you got to remember what Neil did at the North Queensland Cowboys. I think he's a great coach. He's got, you know, he's got a really good game plan. And then if you're going to lose one, the coach has got a longer career to go in the NRL other than Jared Hayes. But I want to watch both of them stay there and do their job.
Can I ask you this about Neil Henry? Now, Neil's been obviously had success at footy clubs, but he's never really got them over the top. Is he the coach who can get them over the top? Because he's got teams to finals, but they've never seriously really threatened for
the
comp.
The three times he was coaching the Cowboys, there was the hand of God from Kieran Foran, and there was a seven tackle set, I think, with the Cowboys, and there was
Cronulla.
Cronulla, and then there was they played the Roosters, and they were coming home in the last pass. So you know what I mean? So like he's been one game away, a bit like Nathan Brown at the Dragons, and sometimes you need luck to win a grand final. The whole recipe. Yeah, I mean, and it's timing, it's the luck. There's a lot of things that goes into... I'm not saying that he would never not have won a grand final like the Cowboys. And then he's got a fair bit of building to do at the Titans, but I wouldn't say that he's not good enough.
How much damage would it do, Brandy, to the Gold Coast Titans sort of marketing department and what their brand on the coast if Jared left? Is he a really popular personality up there on the Gold Coast? Are they still buying into Jared Hayne and what he brings to the Titans?
I think people buy into winners. And when they're not winning, no, they don't buy in. But I'm pretty sure when Jared Hayne first came with the hope, like everybody, that Jared Hayne could reach the heights that he did in 9.
If he was the plane every second weekend and there was a big run, you'd think that...
You wouldn't buy a ticket in the joint.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, isn't it? He hasn't been that. He was that for, what, 2-3 weeks? Mm. And what's he been? There's been nothing but negative headlines around Jared Hayne this year. How is that... been a positive for the Gold Coast having him there this year? It hasn't been a positive at all.
It's been a
negative in every respect on and off the field.
And the ticket sales aren't there like they were last year. Last year, let's remember, when he first arrived, the club came out and said he's basically already paid for himself because of the upsurge in tickets. There's now been a down surge. Mm. So, look, they've got their investment out of him. So maybe it's time to just say, well, if we cannot get along... someone's got to move along.
Especially when you come up to a decision in the next couple of years where you've got guys like Ash Taylor coming off contract. Wouldn't they be better making decisions now, making sure that when that opportunity's there to sign him, because there's going to be a lot of competition, they're ready to go?
I mean, Jared Hayne's on that Tripper deal. He's got that Tripper deal personal sponsor with about $400,000. If I'm the Gold Coast, I'm talking to them right now about transferring that to Ashley Taylor. If not now, in 12 months' time, because Ashley Taylor's far more important to the future of that football club than Jared Hayne.
But Reedy, I didn't want to gloss over this so quickly. If you are on the board of the Gold Coast Titans, and you're saying, okay, well, the coach has got to go, well, at that board meeting, the next thing you're going to have to ask yourself is then, if the coach goes, who's out there? Who's floating around now? Like Ivan Cleary was floating around for about 12 months, but who's floating around now that could coach the Gold Coast?
Well, Craig Bellamy got thrown up, didn't he? And obviously, Craig's got a year to go on his deal, and I think the Storm are going to sit down with him in the off season and try and extend him. But I think there's some interest from the Gold Coast if Neil does go and trying to get. I think they'll at least have a go at Craig.
Craig's family live on the Gold Coast.
Yeah. And Craig's, there's obviously been some sort of issue there. I think you referred to it during the week, Kendi. There's been an issue there. I think it relates back to Kevin Proctor and Kevin Proctor leaving the club, and Craig wasn't overly happy about that. So there's a little undercurrent there. And I'm not saying it's enough for Craig Bellamy to go, but there's certainly a little undercurrent of dissatisfaction.
What about Kevin Walters? Is he signed on as the Origin coach? Yeah, what about someone like Dean Pay, who has been muted as potentially the Bulldogs' next coach?
Oh, that'd be an option.
There's some guys around
some experience. 5 or 6 years, and you've got Jim Dimmick, which I don't understand. Everybody's got huge reps, and of course, there's Kevin Walters and the success that he's had, and he's a Queenslander. He's a great fit. One thing, if you did get Kevin up in Queensland, well, he's a great fit because... you know, he's like a little national treasure, Kevy.
Paul Green's got 1 year left on his deal with the Cowboys. I think Paul Green's the best young coach in the game. If I'm the Gold Coast, it's hard for Paul Green to leave that club because of what they will have next year with Jonathan and Matt Scott coming back and Jordan McLean. But if I'm the Gold Coast, I'd throw heaven and earth at trying to get Paul Green.
Tell you what, I wouldn't mind a little place in Main Beach, just living around the Goldie there. Happy days driving my Frizzell's Audi that you'd sort out for me, Gordy.
Now you're on your... They give out houses.
Houses, cars. Now, mate, you're on your way down to the sheds to interview the coaches ahead of this big game this afternoon. Any more mail for us, Reedy? What else have you got? Now, got anything else to tell us? Any advice on life? We'll take anything at all.
Well, there's an interesting... Obviously, the Benji Marshall story came up today that he's coming back to the West Tigers. An interesting one about the West Tigers is... When Robbie Farrell left this club, there was an agreement basically in place that he would come back as an ambassador at the end of his career to be at this club. Now, Benji's obviously coming back. Robbie's not getting a game at South Sydney. You know, don't be surprised somewhere down the track if Robbie Farrell's back as well. Maybe not next year, but certainly the year after.
What, playing?
No, as an ambassador.
An ambassador, okay, yeah.
The old firm.
The gang's back together.
Where's Princey?
All right, well, good to catch up with you, Reedy, and we'll catch up with you in the sheds when you get those coaches for us.
Cheers, boys.
There he is, Brent Reed, joining us on Sunday Triple M NRL. It's all thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Boys, we've still got the NRL randomizer to come a little bit later on, but why don't we get a song on just so we can chow down on our schnitzel rolls that I bought everyone, and we'll come back with
you
straight after this on you. Sunday Triple M NRL. This is Sunday Triple M NRL. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. An update on the scores here. We've got 18-0 currently in Holden Cup. We'll make it 24. Every time I look up, the scoreboard ticks over. West Tigers 24, Manly 0. That's Holden Cup. And that game, of course, being played here at Leichhardt Oval. And then the Raiders lead the Warriors by 6-0 in the NRL match being played in New Zealand. Those scores are all thanks to Tyre Power. So still to come, we have got our Sunday Soapbox, a preview of the game, and the Triple M NRL randomizer on the way as well, as Triple M rocks the footy. 1, 2, 3,
never miss a minute of the footy.
Too good.
Oh, mate.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
And welcome back to Leichhardt Oval for our match of the day this afternoon, which is, of course, Manly taking on the West Tigers. Right now, the Raiders, though, lead the Warriors 12-0, and in Holden Cup, West Tigers 24, Manly 6. That's Holden Cup, West Tigers 24, Manly 6, NRL Raiders 12, Warriors 0. Ryan Girdler, Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent and Maroon, and it's time now for this.
Breakouts your heritage jersey.
The ball's loose.
Crack open a can of Reshes.
Premieres in a convincing manner.
It's time for a Triple M NRL trip down memory lane.
Ah, yes, the old Triple M randomizer. Well, how this works is we just punch a little... few buttons. It gives us out a year. We look at the rugby league events that happened in that year, and as well as that, we look at some of the general events, the movies, the songs, all that sort of thing. And Ryan Girdler, it's your job to punch off the Triple M randomizer as you always do. Thank you, Ryan. Massive effort there. And it spit. Then it spits out. We've got a bit of an echo there. It spits
well, hang
out.
Hang on,
the
no,
year.
The echo was before you spoke. Oh,
you were the echo. You echoed yourself.
I don't know.
There's some gremlins.
It knows what I'm thinking, that machine. It just knows what I'm thinking. The award-winning...
So random.
Triple M NRL randomizer.
Oh, that was random.
Now, let's have a look at some of the events of the year. Oh, 2003. A big year for some. Golden Point is introduced to the NRL in 2003. Hate Golden Point. Who likes Golden Point? Anyone?
Love it. Yep. Yeah, okay. Don't want it.
Okay. Manly Warringah Seagulls return to the competition in place of their failed joint venture, the Northern Eagles. Ah, the old Northern Eagles. Wasn't that a flip-flop? The salary cap back then was $3.25 million.
Whew.
The top five songs of 2003, and here they were. And that's In the Club, 50 Cent. And Born to Try by Delta Goodrum.
Not much good about the Delta Goodrum.
And Where is the Love by the Black Eyed Peas. Oh,
Eminem.
Lose Yourself.
Yeah, you got one shot.
And finally, the top five in 2003. This is Guy Sebastian.
Oh, God.
Angels Brought Me Here. And there we go. That's the top five songs of 2003. The space shuttle Columbia disintegrates over Texas, killing all seven astronauts on board. Apple launches iTunes. The top five movies of 2003 are Bruce Almighty, The Matrix Reloaded, Pirates of the Caribbean, Finding Nemo, and The Lord of the Rings.
I think it's Nemo, not it's Nebo. It's not Mount Nebo. You're not finding Mount Nebo driving around to a ski field, just to let you know.
All right, just good to know that you three are listening. right. Now, the new Suncorp Stadium hosts its first State of Origin match. Joey Johns dominates the first two games of the series, with New South Wales comfortably winning the first two games and Queensland winning the dead rubber. Here are some highlights of Game 1, 2003.
So there's the kickoff. The 22nd series of State of Origin is underway. Marsh gets it away to the right for Aiken to go into Lockyer. Lockyer's got the pedal down. He will score. Lockyer scores the first try of State of Origin 1 at Suncorp Stadium, Queensland. Take first blood. Now Badiris off to the blind side. Links up with Gidley. Gidley was hammered by the defence, 11 metres out from the line. Tackler was Carl Orr. Then Johns dummies once and then goes out wide. Minicello is in. Minicello has weathered the storm at the other end and has scored the first point for New South Wales. And he plays it back for Badiris. Here's Johns menacingly. Minicello's got number two. Minicello has gone in to score.
They'll
but
check
they are
this.
Going to the video.
Yeah, they'll check this. For a possible shepherd.
So Eddie Ward is the video referee tonight. And he's found a try for New South Wales. He has found the second try of the night.
The great Rabs Warren on the Nine Network calling all the action there. Joey Johnson, they bring back some great memories of what a wonderful player Joey was. In other sport, Maccabi Diva, 2003, by the way, the NRL randomizer. Maccabi Diva wins first of three Melbourne Cups. What an effort. Australia win the Cricket World Cup in South Africa. Warnie is suspended for a year after failing a drugs test. And the Rugby World Cup is held in Australia with the Poms defeating Australia 20-17 in the final at Telstra Stadium. Dally M medal ceremony was cancelled by the NRL after negotiations with the Players Association stalled. Craig Gower led the awards with one round remaining. Chris Anderson is sacked as Sharks coach and Peter Sharp sacked as Manly's coach or Seagulls coach. Panthers become the first team to be minor premiers and hold bottom spot on the ladder in the same season. They would go on to beat the Roosters 18-6 in the grand final. Here are some highlights of 03.
Good luck to convert. From 25 out, it doesn't look bad. The flags are up. The try of Rooney's has been converted. It is 6-0 in favour of the Mountain Men. Absolutely centimetres away from the line. Now it's gone out to Finch. And they're in trouble, the Panthers. Flannery uses Hegarty. Hegarty's in to score. Hegarty scores first points for the defending premiers. Fitzgibbon to convert from the same place that Girdler converted earlier. Hits the uprights, goes through. It's a converted try. It is 6-6. The Panthers and the Roosters. Prittis waits and he looks at Campbell. He goes away and throws the dummy. He's over. Prittis is in. Prittis set up the first. Campbell hits it and gets a further 2 points. Now Campbell's in position. So is Gower. They take another one. Wide to Rooney. Rooney's over. Rooney's in. His second try. It is Penrith's third try. The Panthers, they go out to lead by 16 points to 6. As Preston Campbell moves in from 22 out. It's coming around. It's coming in. It's a goal. It's a conversion. The Cinderella story has come true for the Penrith Panthers.
The 2003 Grand Final with the great Scott Sattler tackle on Todd Byrne.
Yeah.
And, mate, I've done several corporates with Scotty Sattler since that day, and it gets better every time Sats tells a story.
Oh, I couldn't get
missed
better.
Missed the 54th. Missed the 54th minute.
Yeah. He couldn't get better. It was a classic moment.
But he nowadays...
It was a great moment.
He jumped out of the grandstand and ran on the field.
Oh, well, there you go.
He didn't run down at a car or anybody like that.
Yeah, no.
Todd Byrne was in quicksand.
And what? Now talk us through it again. Somebody put the kick. Did you kicked it? Didn't you?
I can't remember.
I think yes, you kicked
did.
It.
Yeah, I did actually.
And
yeah, I came across from the left on the right. It was the last play, and I went to come across and try and get a repeat set and put a little grubber in. Freddie stuck out his big left boot. It ricocheted off Freddie's shoe. He then caught it, ran about 10 metres. I was able to sort of run him down just, tackle him on about the 30, and he popped it up to Todd Byrne. At that point, Byrne was off for the prize, and I was in absolute shock. And then I just saw Sats just sort of start mowing him down, and it was a good moment.
In the fair income department, though. Sorry, Kenny, I'll just butt you in on you all because we've got Ivan Cleary down there with Brent Reed in the tunnel for Remote Water. Take it away, please, Reedy.
Yeah, Ivan, obviously a bit of good news today with Benji Marshall. Can you take us through your thoughts on that?
Pretty excited, really. Yeah, had a couple of good chats with Benji over the last month or so. It's really obvious that, number one, he was really keen to keep playing. Thought he'd get still a lot to offer on the field, and he wants to help the West Tigers. And we're obviously going through a lot of change, and I think it's important that you still have that link to the past. And someone like Benji is such a great contributor to the Tigers for so long. But more importantly, I'm looking forward to what he can contribute, you know, when he comes.
Just on the current team, changes-wise, so is it Chris Lawrence is out, is that right?
Yeah, poor old Rowdy's had a tough year, and he had a bit of a pec injury way back and came back and re-injured it. He's been playing a bit busted the last few weeks, and now it's he's come up short. So Josh Alloa back in the side. He's been out for about 8 weeks, so he's busting to go, so it's good to have him back.
Up to you, boys.
Yeah, Ivan, Ryan Girdler, mate. Obviously two really good fullbacks going head-to-head today. How do you stop Tommy?
Oh, with a shotgun, mate.
Yeah. He's pretty impressive last week, wasn't he?
Oh, he's impressive every week.
Yeah.
I mean, those boys, Jake, his brother as well, I mean, just outstanding football. It's completely different, and a real cornerstone of their team. I know that Cherry Evans has had a lot of, and Blake Green, been really good for them this year, but I think those boys there, they've been, you know, really good every week, and great kids too, so hopefully they can have a day off today.
Hey, Ivan, you must be glad that last week was over, and congratulations on the way you and your son handled it, mate, but now you can talk about him. He's starting to play some really good footy, and he was outstanding last night, wasn't he, when the game was on the line?
Yeah, look, he's obviously very proud. It's good to be able to watch him play and enjoy watching him play again last night. He's just, I think the best thing Nathan's got going for him is he's consistent and he plays for the team. I actually mentioned last week, probably like this, Gordy, I reckon he plays like a Queenslander.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, but that's all he's ever done, you know, and the higher the grades he's gone up, the more valuable it is, and last night was probably just another example.
I've Appy Coruscant's had a breakout season, hasn't he, over there under Baz. You know Appy quite well. What do you think his best attributes are?
Yeah, look, I love Ellie. Appy, he was great for us at Penrith in the 1 year he was there. Very competitive. He's got good vision as a hooker. Pretty tough too, so it's good to see him doing well. He had a few injuries and a few things going off the field as well recently, so a real danger, and yeah, as you said, he's really found his feet there.
Okay, good on you. I've good on you, mate. Congratulations for the year, and the best of luck for the rest of it, and good luck today.
Good luck, mate.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Ivan Cleary joining us on Sunday, Triple M NRL.
It's funny, obviously Trent Barrett deputised under Ivan at Penrith a few years ago. They just had a really good chat, both of them there. You don't see that too often. The opposing coaches are two really good guys in our game. Just stand down there in the tunnel and have a chat for about 20 minutes before it. So, it'll be a really good matchup today on all different fronts.
Yeah, two good fellas, and right now Holden Cup, West Tigers 24, Manly 6. That's just started the second half there. And in the game in New Zealand, the NRL game, Raiders 12, Warriors 6. And that's all thanks to Ty Power. Fellas, just to wrap up that 2003 yarn that Kenty and Gerds was having.
Well, Kenny was halfway through something.
Sorry, mate, you were going to ask a question there.
Oh, look, the moment's lost. I've got no idea.
No, I don't think the moment's lost.
Well, it means he can't remember.
Can't you remember?
I can't remember. What were we even talking about? 2000.
We're talking about Sats's tackle.
Tackle, yeah.
Yeah.
No, we're talking about Skinny Byrne running down the...
Yeah,
yeah.
I was just going to say, look, it was a great tackle, but in the speed stakes, I reckon
Yeah, when you and Fat Gordy here have your run, I think the skinny bird, if he joined it, he'd come third. So, you know what I mean? Like, it was, and Sats had a bit of start. I'm going to knock him down a peg or two, Sats, because I like him.
Yeah.
I do when I like him. But he had a bit of start on him.
Yeah, but when you're talking about
weight. Great tackler.
Absolutely. It's one of those moments, you know how, you know, like when you dream and people dream of scoring tries. As a forward, that's what you dream of, making a tackle.
I was writing for the Telegraph at the time, and I wrote that Scott Sattler's now joined his father and having a grand final moment, which it's obvious now you look back, but at the time it just seemed to fit. It was just a great story to write at the time, and I was really happy for him because I always liked Sats as a player. I always got on very well with him. And just to go and have a moment like that, and he shared it with his dad afterward. It was just a wonderful time in the game. And to be honest, some of those things we just don't celebrate enough sometimes.
No. Yeah, absolutely. And it was a heavy name to carry, isn't it?
It is a heavy name.
Mate, in rugby league, and Gasnier carried some, and there's some people carrying some really big names, and Matty Rogers, like, you know, for those guys to get where they got to.
I know his old man was tough, but Sats wasn't far behind him.
Yeah, good fellas too. They are on and off the field legends of the game. Sunday Triple M NRL. Sats, I know you're listening up there on the Goldie. Let's go down to the sideline, because this time around Brent Reed is with the Manly coach, Trent Barrett. Take it away, Reedy.
Yeah, Baz, an important win last week, but it's important you back it up, right?
Yeah, it certainly is. You know, I was really happy with the way they bounced back last week against the Roosters, and we need to play at a similar level, if not better, today.
I mean, if you look at the Roosters and the way they played last night, it's a good form guide. It says you guys are in pretty good touch.
Yeah. The results are all over the joint, to be honest. The form, it's not something you can really read into. But, look, today I just want a good performance from our blokes. You know, we're healthy. We've got, you know, from 1 to 17, everyone's available. And I thought, I certainly don't want to see a repeat of anything we tossed up, you know, 3 weeks ago in Melbourne and against the Dragons. So hopefully that's behind us. We've got a hell of a lot to play for today. You know, there's a spot in the top four if we're good enough today. And it'll all come down to our attitude and how much we want to, you know, win and work hard for each other.
Up to you, boys.
Hey, Baz, how dangerous is playing a side that can't make the eight, someone like the West Tigers?
Yeah, it is, Grah, mate. You know, you saw what Newcastle did to Parramatta the other night. It can happen, and, you know, it's a tough competition, and there's still a hell of a lot of good players in this Tigers side, you know, and Woods is a handful with his offloads. We need to watch him, and their back five have a lot of tackle breaks in them and a lot of offloads. So, you know, look, we're going to have to be really good defensively. I do want us to get in a bit of a grind with them and just concentrate on ourselves and do the things that we do well. You know, I'm confident we'll be able to score enough points if we defend as well as we have to and hang on to the footy.
Trent, you referenced it a little bit earlier. A win today and you win by 12 points or more puts you into the top four. Have you spoken to the players about that?
Yeah, look, it's a bit of a funny one. I certainly don't want them watching the ladder too much, but it's pretty hard at this time of year not to have a bit of a look at it. I think that's more about the opportunity that we've given ourselves. You know, after the majority of the season's gone, we can be sitting in fourth spot with three rounds to go, which is a great spot to be in and something we should be proud of, but something we really need to capitalise on. We've got a few blokes. We've only got, I think, four blokes who've played in semi-finals before. So, you know, it's a huge goal of ours to get there, and I want to see them enjoy those bigger games, and that's why today's so important.
How vital is a top four spot?
Yeah, I think, look, yeah, history shows you it's very hard to win it from outside it, but, you know, it's huge. And to have that second crack, and I think for your confidence as well, to know that after 26 rounds you're in the top four teams in the comp, gives you a lot of confidence going into those big games. So, without looking too far ahead, you know, we just got to win today and get a performance on.
All right, Baz, we'll let you go, mate. Best of luck for the rest of the season and good luck today.
Thanks, fellas.
There he is, Trent Barrett, joining us on Sunday Triple M NRL on the sideline there for Ream Hot Water Heaters. Now, that's a big game. Should be a good game coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll preview it after 3 for Iveco Trucks, Strong by Nature, iveco.com.au. Holden Cup, West Tigers 24, Manly 6. About 10 minutes into the second half there. And Raiders 16, Warriors 6 in the NRL game being played in New Zealand. Ryan Girdler, Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent and Maroon, we're going to take a break and come back with a little segment we call Harden Up. next as Triple M rocks the footy.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. The Brighton's lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Put your clothes on, Gerds. It's not over yet.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon. Triple M rocks the footy.
Welcome back to Leichhardt Oval in Sydney, right across the Triple M network for today's match of the day at 4 o'clock. The West Tigers will host the Manly Warringah Seagulls, a traditional home of the Balmain Tigers. And, of course, news coming through today that Benji Marshall will have one last season. Well, we think it'll be one last season with the Tigers in 2018. But one of the great traditional grounds, the Sydney Rugby League. I remember being here as a kid, and we've had a bit of a treat this weekend because we've been to Cogri yesterday and Leichhardt today, and it should be a good game this afternoon. Great weather for it, and crowds starting to really build. And right now it's time for this.
This is Anthony. He owns a big, shiny, fancy f***ing four-wheel drive, but he doesn't know how to change a tyre. Harden the f*** up, Anthony. Come on! Harden the f*** up!
I reckon rugby needs to harden the f*** up a bit.
This is Jack. He spends an hour a day doing his hair. You're also a DJ, aren't you, mate?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you... Yeah, hold on the f*** up.
Three of you could harden up today, I think. Really? Like, if I want to be honest.
No, I'm taking you to HR.
Yeah.
I was just walking down the corridor, bumped into Noddy Kamali.
Yeah.
He was teasing me about running the city to surf, that I wouldn't make the 14K because of you embarrassing me on air.
Yeah, but you three, you come in here every week and talk about how tough you are, but it all comes down to how the three of you could beat me up. Like, I'm considerably older.
You're low-hanging fruit.
I am, mate. I'm low-hanging
you
fruit.
You are. It's so not that low-hanging.
You three need to harden up.
Yeah, but I didn't pick on your weakness, like your teeth or anything, so you're picking on my weight.
My teeth are just fine now.
And talking about weight, how are you going to carry those things up Heartbreak Hill? You might chip them. They're that big. They might hit the road. That's how he's going to beat me. His teeth will be across the line, and he'll be
involved in the teeth discussion. Leave me out of it. I've got my own piano keyboard over here.
Yeah, it looks like you tripped over and swallowed a Yamaha.
Right.
No, that's you.
Yeah, I know.
But you just ate all the black keys.
He's a stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry Seinfeld's in there.
Yeah. Jerry's listening. You need an undercard. Here it is.
Right, Gordon. Who needs to harden
up? Don't look at me with those teeth. I don't want it to harden up.
Oh, turn it up.
No, let's go to Paul. Well, let's go to Paul.
Paul, could you kick us off today, please? What about you or anyone?
Yeah.
Ryan, yeah.
I tell you, look, I've got it. He's look, for a soft heap, he's not a bad bloke.
Who's that?
Gus Wallen.
Oh, okay, right. Gus Wallen. But
I've just seen some vision of Gus.
Sorry,
in the boxing ring.
For those who aren't in Sydney, Gus Wallen is a member of the Triple M Grill team with Matty Johns and Mark Guy.
Yeah, so, he does Saturday
Triple M show.
Monday to Friday and the morning show, or the breakfast show, and he's desperate for attention. He'll walk across cut glass any time for attention. So he's now put himself in the boxing ring on a charity fight night, and I've seen a little bit of vision of him in there learning how to fight. Gus, by the time you commit to the fight, it's the wrong time to learn how to fight. You've got to learn well before you commit. And I tell you what, I might even go along with him. I think we should buy a table.
Yeah.
Because
he fighting? What's the name?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. My daughter would knock him out.
Oh.
Do you know when? Do you say harden up? I just had a look at his body.
Did you mean physically?
There's nothing hard there.
There's nothing hard there.
He's like a jellyfish.
Yeah. Not even his chin's hard.
But hang on, you blokes.
He doesn't have a jawline.
I take offence to this because why? Because I'll tell you why. He's a friend of mine. Mm. He's doing this for charity. And again, you're going for the low-hanging fruit.
Oh, here we go. Gus, charity starts at home,
mate. Well, why is it low-hanging fruit?
You've just what's that?
Well, because you guys all think you could beat him up too,
well,
mate.
No, you said that.
Well, yeah, but you think you could beat him up.
You said it.
He's getting in the ring to do the right thing for charity. That shows a lot of guts.
Yeah,
and all he gets from you three is
why don't
this.
You do it? Because there'll be a lineup a mile long.
Listen, I don't know. We don't know who he's going to fight. But right. I'll just let the listeners in on this. Earlier in the show, when we're off air, Gordon was talking about fighting you.
Yeah.
And Gordon said he'd limited himself to two punches per round. He still thinks it'll only go one round. Right? Good. Trust me, he's right.
Yes.
And whoever fights Gus could probably limit himself to about four punches to slip the right hand, which comes so slow, it's like moving an ocean liner. It's so slow. Slip that and rip him with the left hand up the guts. Mm. It's all over. It's all over.
Yeah.
So that's your harden up today.
Yeah. Do you like that?
Yeah, because
think of it this way, Maroon. If the fight goes ahead and Gus gets knocked out and possibly his jaw broken, well, then you'll get your morning job back. You're the preposition boy on the morning show, which you've been trying to get into for years now.
No, you couldn't.
Think of the positives.
Well, I don't think that. I think they'd probably find someone ahead of me, Ryan. Like,
maybe Gus
like
is
you. Maybe like you. You're the golden child Ryan.
Maybe
you're
the golden child. Gus is fighting one of your co-hosts in Millie. Maybe it's Gus versus Millie.
Oh, Millie would knock him.
Maroon, if you had any,
it didn't take you long to turn, did it?
Oh, look at you, hey, solid.
TC.
Oh, solid. If you had any brains, you'd go and white on him, and you'd find someone that can fight a bit, and you just load the fight up.
Yep, but I can't do his job as good as him.
Oh.
I hope that's on video what you just did.
Who do you think needs the hard time?
You have to go on YouTube. I mean,
well, I've got to say, I've been given a lot of support of late. And there was a side that went up to Brisbane over this weekend with their skipper and their leader playing 300 games, and they needed to go up there and perform. Their coach sort of put it on the line, and they had a lot to play for. Top four finished. And they went up there and they got totally bullied by the Brisbane Broncos.
Yeah.
So I think the Sharkies, after that performance on the back of Gal and his 300s, they need to have a good look in the mirror this week and get it back together. I know it's not panic stations, but if it's not, well, then what is it? Because that wasn't up to scratch for the Sharkies.
An interesting thing about that too is we always celebrate Melbourne and how they respect everybody's milestones within the club. Cronulla lost on Gal's 100th game, lost on his 200th game, and now lost on his 300th game. It's fairly telling, isn't it?
Well, I think I've...
Don't forget, it was a big milestone night. It was Wayne Bennett coaching his 600th game too, which was sort of... It sort of went under the radar, but I'm pretty sure that all of his teammates would have known as well. So Gal playing his 300 up against Wayne Bennett, coaching all these kids, you know, coaching his 600. But my harden up, and I don't know who to direct this one at, but we've got the Melbourne Storm last night playing against the Roosters, and I love Fox Sports. I've been working for them now for 10 years and they are my employer, but I cannot understand how that game was not on free-to-air to go to the masses, to go to everybody to sit and watch that. So I don't know who makes the decision, whether it's Channel 9, whether it's the NRL, whether the NRL could like step in and go to Fox and say, hey, listen, can we put it over both networks?
Because but Channel 9 are after ratings.
But
you won't be
so one and two. Okay, so then if that plays
in the grand final, okay, I don't think they care.
Okay, so if that goes to the grand final, that's not going to rate. So then let's just not put it
no,
on.
No, they'll rate because it's the grand final.
But it's not going to rate.
No, it's not going to rate as much.
Before the finals.
Gordon,
they like to play Sydney sides on the Channel 9.
This is my
harden
up here.
Yeah. Oh, we're allowed to jump in.
Don't interrupt him. Whatever.
You hopped on Gus Wallen when I went after him.
Oh, sorry. Oh, so, but, like, you're going against me. Are you jumping on my board or going against me?
I'm going against you.
That is hard.
What enough. A surprise, Paul.
Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler, Paul Kent.
I'll only buy you 10 schooners.
We've got to interrupt this now, boys, because we've got Jared Daffy from UBet on the line making an NRL multi. Well, that's easy with the all-new UBet Multi Builder. Download the app today and customised by sport, time, price, and always gamble responsibly. Daff, good afternoon and welcome to Leichhardt Oval.
Good afternoon, gents. Sounds like a great day there.
It absolutely is. Beautiful weather for it. Tigers, Seagulls. Manly's won 6 of their last 8 matches against the Tigers, but only 2 of their last 9 at Leichhardt Oval. What are we doing here?
Well, there's a lot at stake for both sides here. Obviously, West Tigers, if they lose, they can finish at the bottom of the ladder. So what we're seeing today is pretty good money for the Tigers. Only a small move price-wise, but a big betting game. $3 into $2.90. Manly, $1.43. The handicap line there, 6.5 points. And once again, a pretty big focus on the game total, which we had set at over and under 43.5 points. An avalanche of money for the over. It's into $1.80.
Righto, Daff. What about premiership betting, mate?
$2.20 Melbourne. Plenty of big bets for them this week, including 16,000 at $2.25. Broncos into $5.50. So their price has halved in 2 weeks, having lost McCulloch. Everybody put the pen through them, but they're second favourites now. The Roosters at $6.50. Obviously, we've got to see what happens today. Manly and Cronulla, $14. Para, $15. Penrith, $15. And the Raiders at $17. So a bit of a logjam there at the bottom part of the eight. But Melbourne Storm, red hot favourites, $2.20.
Good on you, Daff. Thanks so much.
See you, guys.
There he is, NRL Multi. It's easy with the all-new
I'd be on the overs today, by the way.
Multi-builder. Download the app today and customise by sport, time, price. Gamble responsibly. Now let's have a look at some of these scores at Holden Cup at the moment. West Tigers 36, Manly 12. And in the NRL game at the moment, we've got Raiders leading the Warriors by 18 points to 6.
Half time.
And that's half time. Thank you, Kenny. We'll come back with the Sunday Soapbox and preview this afternoon's game for Iveco Trucks, Strong by Nature. As Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL. For Brighton's lawyers, protecting your future.